Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Hurricane Sally threatens the Gulf Coast with historic rain.
Facebook faces a possible U.S. antitrust lawsuit.
President Trump once again touts a coronavirus vaccine is weeks away.
And the Fed makes its final policy decision before the election.
Police say they found bomb-making materials in a home in Queens, plus tough questions for President Trump at a town hall.
No.
With that, please stop and let me finish my question, sir.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won. They scored 20 runs. The Mets lost. The Islanders won in double overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community. SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of today's policy decision from the Fed. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 18 points this morning. Dow futures up 130, and NASDAQ futures up 54. The DAX in Germany is up a third of a percent. CAC in Paris up about the same. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury little change. Yield 0.67%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2 1/3% or 91 cents at 39.80. 18 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.4% at $1,973.70 an ounce. John.
And more on the markets coming up in a minute. But first, Hurricane Sally is strengthening as it heads toward Florida and Alabama, where it could cause as much as $5 billion in damage. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest. Rob.
John and Karen, Hurricane Sally is moving ashore in southeastern Alabama this morning. Several locations in southeastern Alabama have reported winds to 70 to 75 miles an hour with gusts as high as 95 miles an hour. System's going to bring heavy rain, coastal flooding, and also the threat of isolated tornadoes to southeastern Alabama today. Then as it lifts off to the north and east, it'll bring heavy rain across Alabama, parts of Georgia, and into the Carolinas tomorrow. In fact, they may have some very heavy rain on Thursday across the Raleigh-Durham area. Then the storm goes out to sea Thursday night. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And we'll check in with Rob throughout the morning. But first, several developments regarding the coronavirus. JPMorgan Chase has sent some Manhattan traders home after an employee tested positive. Beijing's top biosafety scientist expects vaccine shots to be ready in China as early as November. And President Trump is once again raising hopes of swift approval for a vaccine here in the U.S.
The previous administration would have taken perhaps years to have a vaccine because of the FDA and all the approvals. And we're within weeks of getting it. You know, could be 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
And Trump spoke in a town hall with ABC News. Public health authorities have raised concerns the White House is pressuring the FDA to approve a vaccine before the election on November 3rd.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration is nearing a decision on whether to approve Oracle's alliance with the Chinese-owned video app TikTok.
I have a high respect for Larry Ellison. He's somebody I know. He's been really a terrific guy for a long time. So we're going to take a look. I heard they're very close to a deal, and we'll be looking at the TikTok deal with Larry Ellison and Oracle.
Larry Ellison is chairman of Oracle. Sources say Oracle's proposal lacks the payment to the U.S. government that the president has insisted be the condition of any deal.
Shares of Facebook down almost 1.5% as the company faces more legal trouble. Bloomberg News has learned of a possible antitrust lawsuit against the social media giant. And we get the details from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
A source tells us the case may be filed by the end of the year, but a final decision has not been made. The person familiar with the matter says the Federal Trade Commission has been investigating Facebook for more than a year over whether the social media giant has harmed competition. A lawsuit by the FTC would mark another major escalation by U.S. officials in their campaign against America's technology giants, which have come under intense scrutiny in Washington over their dominant market positions. Facebook and the FTC have declined to comment. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day policy meeting today, and financial markets are awaiting detailed guidance on the central bank's new inflation strategy. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The Fed has signaled the willingness to let inflation breach its 2% target to rekindle economic growth. For now, official inflation rates are short of the Fed's target, and economists don't see much of a change as the economy grapples with historic unemployment and the coronavirus. But they want to know about the Fed's playbook. As far as U.S. interest rates, the betting says no change today. The Fed will hold its benchmark rate close to zero for a long time. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the decision followed by the Powell News Conference begins at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And stay with Bloomberg Radio and television for live coverage and analysis.
Shares of FedEx are up 9% this morning. The company is riding a wave of e-commerce demand that's boosting pricing power. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Surcharges of 30 cents more per package for its largest customers and an early recovery in more profitable business deliveries help FedEx offset the extra costs of operating during a pandemic. FedEx squeezed out efficiencies from its spending on new aircraft and automation to handle online shipping demand. The company is getting an early payoff on investments in its ground unit that have made home deliveries more profitable. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ray Dalio says the dollar's position as the global reserve currency is in jeopardy. That's because of steps by the U.S. to support the economy during COVID. Dalio, in an interview with Bloomberg, says the pandemic has also impacted the bottom line at his Bridgewater Associates. Its flagship Pure Alpha 2 fund was down more than 18% through August.
Over the last 20 years, we've never had any significant downturn, nothing, all positive years. But we knew that there will come a day. We missed the pandemic and going down, and that's the reality. We're just operating in the same way that we've always operated. And yeah, that's right. We have so far a bad year.
The investors have pulled a net $3.5 billion from Bridgewater during the first 7 months of the year.
And Amazon plans to open 1,000 small delivery hubs in cities and suburbs all over the U.S. Sources tell us the facilities, eventually numbering around 1,500, will bring products closer to customers, making shopping online as fast as a quick run to the store. S&P futures up almost 17 points this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Disturbing find in a home in Astoria, Queens. The NYPD say they found bomb-making materials just hours after a fire. NYPD Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence and Counterterrorism John Miller.
There was materials found that raised some concern. That included a number of chemicals, a number of packages, a number of books and manuals.
Miller says no assembled device was found. A tenant linked to the material is in custody and is described as an emotionally disturbed person. Days after New York City's business leaders complained to Bill de Blasio that quality of life issues were deterring workers from going back to the office, the mayor announced a plan to boost trash pickup and reduce litter on the city's streets. The mayor said late last night that the sanitation department will restore 65 weekly litter basket trucks, a 24% increase over current levels, in 27 neighborhoods across the city. President Trump says that his plan to replace Obamacare, which he has repeatedly promised would be introduced soon, is now, quote, all ready. Trump fielded tough questions in a town hall-style event hosted by ABC News last night. One woman had this question for the president.
Should pre-existing conditions, which Obamacare brought to fruition, be removed?
No.
Please stop and let me finish my question, sir. Should that be removed within a 36 to 72 hour period without my medication, I will be dead.
The president responded.
We are not going to hurt anything having to do with pre-existing conditions. We're not going to hurt pre-existing conditions. And, in fact, just the opposite.
Trump also called for support of police officers. Joe Biden was in Kissimmee, Florida, campaigning for National Hispanic Heritage Month. Biden criticized President Trump's record with the Latino community.
Whether it's in his heinous act of separating children from their families at our border or his repeated attacks on Dreamers.
The Israeli military has struck Hamas militant sites in the Gaza Strip in response to rocket fire toward Israel. It coincided with the signing of normalization agreements between Israel and two Arab countries at the White House. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. To think it was only a week ago, the Yankees were mired in a five-game losing streak. They were a 500 team. They were just a half game from falling to fourth place. Since then, six wins in a row. They're in second place. They tattooed the Blue Jays at the stadium 20-6, six home runs, two by Luke Voit, who leads the majors with 18. Also, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks, Clint Frazier, and DJ LeMahieu had four hits and five RBIs. The Yankees batted around in the second, third, and fourth innings. The Mets lost in Philadelphia 4-1. Baseball made it official. The postseason going to bubbles to try and prevent COVID outbreaks. The American League games will be in California, the NL in Texas, the World Series to be played at the new stadium in Arlington. The Islanders, not done yet.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Islanders might have a two-on-one here. Lee, through the left circle, he's with Everly down the middle, feeds him, shoots, he scores! Jordan Everly has won it in double overtime on a great feed from the captain! The Islanders win it 2-1! They stave off elimination, and there will be a game six on Thursday night!
So some time for Chris King to rest that voice. WRHU, the call series now 3-2 Tampa. The Islanders had lost three overtime games in the previous series. Overtime to start the NBA's East Finals. Miami beat Boston to Heat, now 9-1 in the playoffs. Second straight series, Denver won a game seven to cap a comeback from a 3-1 deficit. Did it first to Utah, and now the Clippers, who have still never reached the conference finals. It'll be the Nuggets against the Lakers. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, thanks, John. And the ratings in for week one of the NFL season, they decline for everybody not named Tom Brady. That game between the Tampa Bay quarterback and the New Orleans Saints was the highest opening weekend for Fox in 4 years. The pandemic has led more pro football teams to play without live audiences, and that can detract from the excitement. You're listening to Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond search tool to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at IBKR.com/bonds. U.S. futures advancing along with European stocks as investors wait for the outcome of the Federal Reserve's policy meeting later today. Crude oil climbing above $39 a barrel following a surprise drop in U.S. crude stockpiles. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 17 points. Dow futures up 120. NASDAQ futures up 46. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.5% or 97 cents at $39.25 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $10.10 at $19.76.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1880 against the dollar. British pound 1.2948 and the yen 105.16. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Sally is bearing down on Pensacola, expected to make landfall in the Florida Panhandle this morning as a Category 2 storm with sustained winds of 105 miles per hour. Sally is a slow-moving storm that is expected to dump over 2 feet of rain along wide stretches of the Gulf Coast. As dozens of wildfires rage in 10 states, the air quality in the West has become so poor, Portland, Oregon now has the worst air quality of any major city on the globe. In the NHL, the Islanders stay alive in the East Finals, beating the Lightning in overtime. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost. Baseball, the Yankees put a whipping on the Blue Jays, New York 20, Toronto 6. The Mets lost along with the Orioles, the Red Sox won, the A's lost to the Rockies 3-1. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The United States will pass 200,000 confirmed COVID-19 deaths this week. and will pass the 1 million deaths mark worldwide soon after that. With an update on the pandemic, we're joined now by Dr. Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, thanks for being with us this morning. Those numbers I just cited, that doesn't sound like progress to me.
Well, you know, I think there's a big difference in the global responses to the pandemic. There are certain countries that have been able to control the infections and have been able to keep their infection levels down at a relatively low rate. Now, that's not to say it's perfect, because sometimes those numbers tick up and down, but other countries have had really very poor success in terms of controlling COVID-19. And I think the U.S. is settling more into that latter group. We have we're plateauing at much higher numbers of cases than we should have, and I think that's going to be eventually stressing our medical system more than is needed to. It's not even considering all of the deaths and other mortality and morbidity that's happening from these infections.
Where do we stand on testing and contact tracing?
Yeah, I think we know from other countries' experiences that testing followed by contact tracing is the best way to keep infections down while you're opening up your economy. And I think that we've seen some reports on contact tracing. There's been relatively low responses to of individuals to calls from contact tracers, and therefore it's not as efficient as it could be in terms of limiting those cases and bringing the people that are at highest risk into containment, as opposed to trying to apply those containments to the entire population.
There have been statements from the President of the United States saying that a vaccine could be here in just a matter of weeks. How problematic is it to put a timeline on a vaccine?
Well, you know, particularly these phase three clinical trials, which are the most critical for a vaccine, they take time because they require you to have a signature of efficacy, meaning they require you to show that your vaccine is actually protecting vaccinated people from infection as opposed to a group that got a sham inoculation. And that's just going to take time because you have to wait for people to for significant numbers of people in both groups to get infected so you can see those differences. That's the difficult part of it. Up until now, the clinical trials have all been immunized and look for immune responses after a few weeks, so they've been on much more of a rigorous timeline. But when you're looking for efficacy and infections, then you're really at the whim of the people who are in the study and how they're going to be exposed to the virus.
Hey, what do we know about pediatric cases at this point, and what do they tell us?
Yeah, so there's been a real emphasis on looking at pediatric COVID-19 cases over the past few months. We know that cases in pediatric populations are increasing. We now know that, you know, we knew for a while now that the serious disease that we see in the elderly doesn't appear to be present in the pediatric populations. But the pediatric populations do have severe disease. A recent study showed that there's just as much severe cases of COVID-19 in pediatric populations as there are after influenza. We pay particular attention to pediatric infections during influenza season.
Yeah. With flu season coming, how does that complicate the overall picture?
Yeah, so it's very difficult from symptoms to differentiate influenza from COVID-19. And flu vaccine is going to be distributed soon if it's not already distributed. And it's going to be very important for everybody to really go out of their way and try to get their flu vaccine, because that's going to help us keep the number of respiratory cases down. And it'll also, and that will help us maintain infrastructure in the medical community to be able to deal with surges in COVID-19 cases. What we don't want is lots of people coming in with flu, being tested for COVID-19, and stressing our diagnostic as well as our healthcare system with that surge of patients.
All right, doctor. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We appreciate it. Dr. Andy Pekos, a professor and vice chair of the microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health, giving us the update this morning. As for the markets right now, futures in the U.S., they're in the green ahead of today's Fed decision. That comes out at 2 o'clock. We'll have live coverage on both Bloomberg Radio and Television, as well as announced analysis. Dow futures right now up 108 points. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 15 points. That's up 0.5%. And the NASDAQ futures right now up 47 points, up 0.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're tracking Hurricane Sally as it barrels toward Alabama and Florida. We'll have more on that in a moment. But first, U.S. futures are higher ahead of today's policy decision from the Fed. The central bank releases its statement and forecast this afternoon. And for bond traders, the language in that statement will be key. That's according to TD Securities Head of Rate Strategy, Priya Misra.
The language around QE is stale, I would argue, right now, because the Fed says it's for market functioning reasons. Market functioning is back to COVID levels and has been for a while. Our call is that the Fed is likely to make that narrative shift to say it's a tool to keep long-end rates low. I think we need to hear that from Chair Powell.
Traders are looking for guidance from the Fed on how long rates will stay near zero. Stay tuned for that decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, followed by analysis on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Before that decision, the government issues data on August retail sales. Economists are forecasting a 1% gain. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Retail sales posted three consecutive gains after plunging during pandemic lockdowns in March and April. Bloomberg Economics says the strength of back-to-school sales will herald the outlook for the rest of the year. Industry data indicate auto sales perked up last month. Consumer spending accounts for two-thirds of economic activity and is critical to a turnaround. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A source tells Bloomberg J.P. Morgan Chase sent some of its Manhattan workers home this week after an employee in equities trading tested positive for COVID-19. We get more on the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
A source says news of the infection on the fifth floor of the company's 383 Madison Avenue building was communicated to employees on September 13th. That was less than a week after more workers began returning to offices following Labor Day. The news shows the challenges banks face as they try to bring more staff back to the office after months of remote work. J.P. Morgan has been among the boldest banks in calling workers back. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And shares of Facebook are down more than 1% this morning. Bloomberg News has learned the Federal Trade Commission is preparing a possible antitrust suit against Facebook.
And shares of FedEx are up 9.5%, sales at the company's ground delivery unit smashing Wall Street estimates. Futures this morning higher, with S&P futures up about 15 points, Dow futures up 100, NASDAQ futures up 47, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.67%, and NYMEX crude oil up 2.25%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
John, the Florida Panhandle and coastal Alabama are being slammed from Hurricane Sally as it moves toward the coast. The slow-moving storm gained strength early today to become a Category 2 hurricane with 105-mile-per-hour winds. Flash floods from as much as a foot of rain have already been reported. California wildfires have claimed more lives. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The toll from the unprecedented firestorms is now 25 people, the latest coming in from a flare-up near Oroville in the northern part of the state. The firestorms have destroyed more than 4,200 structures and forced over 60,000 people to evacuate. The smoke in the state has eased a bit as we get an onshore flow, but it has gone up into the jet stream, and meteorologists in New York have reported the West Coast smoke. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The NYPD say they found bomb-making materials in a home in Astoria, Queens after a fire. A tenant linked to the material is in custody and described as an emotionally disturbed person. NYPD Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence and Counterterrorism John Miller.
There were books about military explosives, booby traps, and other things.
President Trump is denying he played down the threat of the coronavirus earlier this year, although there is an audio recording of him saying that. During a town hall event on ABC last night, Trump also continued to cast doubt on the widely accepted scientific conclusion, urging the use of face coverings.
The concept of a mask is good, but it also does, you're constantly touching it, you're touching your face, you're touching plates. There are people that don't think masks are good.
Joe Biden's advisors say they are developing plans to distribute a coronavirus vaccine if he were to win the election. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, the Yankees were truly the Bronx Bombers last night at the stadium. Over the second, third, and fourth innings, they scored 16 runs. They batted around in all three innings. They beat the Blue Jays 20-6 for their sixth win in a row. Moves them ahead of Toronto into second place. Luke Voit, two more home runs. He leads the majors with 18. He and DJ LeMahieu, the top two in the order, both had five RBIs. The only guy who didn't contribute was Giancarlo Stanton, his first game back after missing the last 39. He went 0-4. The Mets had 11 hits but left 12 on base. They lost in Philadelphia 4-1. Once the regular season ends, no more games at home stadiums. Playoff bubbles, American League games in San Diego and L.A., NL games in Houston, and the new stadium in Arlington, which will also host the World Series. They hope to have some fans in attendance. The Islanders got a goal from Jordan Eberle 12 and a half minutes into the second overtime. They beat Tampa Bay 2-1 to stay alive. The Lightning still leading the series 3-2. The Denver Nuggets came back from a 3-1 series deficit for the second series in a row. They beat the Clippers in Game 7, 104-89. Jamal Murray, 40 points. Nikola Jokic, 16 points, 22 rebounds, and 13 assists. The two Clippers stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, shot 10 of 38. The Nuggets will play the Lakers in the West Finals. Miami won Game 1 in the East in overtime over Boston, a game-saving blocked shot by the Heat's Bam Adebayo. The Jets have put running back Le'Veon Bell on the injured list with a pulled hamstring. He'll miss at least three games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're awaiting a decision from the Federal Reserve today with policy around the inflation front and center. For more on the matter and a preview of today's decision, we turn to Bloomberg Markets reporter Krita Gupta.
Today's FOMC decision is all about the inflation debate. Joining us on the topic is Robin Brooks, chief economist at the International Institute of Finance. I want to get your take on the shift to average inflation targeting by the Federal Reserve. What does it mean for other major central banks and their currencies?
It's a big deal, I think. Inflation targeting and getting inflation up to 2% has been a struggle for many central banks, including the Fed. And the Fed has really broken the mold by saying we are going to try and make up for past underperformance by allowing inflation to overshoot the 2%. That's basically the average inflation targeting framework they rolled out at Jackson Hole. And for the BOJ and the ECB in particular, the two big other G3 central banks, it's a big headache. They're both struggling with very low inflation. They have both struggled with very low inflation for many, many years. And so the question for both central banks is, how do we match this average inflation targeting framework? How do we match this dovish shift from the Fed?
Well, certainly an interesting dynamic. I want to pivot here to the EM space really quickly. How much can we read into the inflation surges you're seeing in the likes of Mexico, Hungary, China? Could we see that translate to inflation in the U.S. and other advanced economies?
We're still very much in the middle of this shock, and so some prices are going up. And, of course, the same thing's happening in emerging markets, and it's aggravated by the fact that currencies in many cases have fallen very significantly. But in the big picture, this is a huge negative demand shock. To give you an idea, for the United States, we don't think inflation, even by 2023, will get back up to 2% on core PCE. So low for long, and that's going to be the same in emerging markets. And so basically, we're in a global deflationary environment.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I want to contrast the EM story with the Japanese experience, which is very much dealing with an absolutely different story. In light of Shinzo Abe's recent resignation, what can we really take away from Abenomics?
What Kuroda managed to do was to get underlying inflation in Japan from about -1.5% on our measures to slightly positive. That's a huge accomplishment with inflation everywhere else going down. So I would give him a 10 out of 10 on monetary policy and on reflating Japan in a globally very difficult environment.
Robin, fascinating stuff here. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll continue the conversation with Robin Brooks, chief economist at the International Institute of Finance, on the terminal. Just type in TLIV. Go at 10 a.m. New York, 3 p.m. London. We'll also have live coverage of the Fed decision coming up today, 2 p.m. Wall Street time, on Bloomberg Radio, Bloomberg Television, and, of course, our top live blog, TLIV. Go. I'm Krita Gupta for Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Krita. Thanks. And ahead of that decision this afternoon, futures this morning, they are in the green. Dow futures up 105 points. A rise of 0.4% this morning. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 16 points. That's up 0.5%. The NASDAQ E-mini futures up 55 points right now. They're up 0.5%. As far as yields, treasuries right now, the 10-year, the benchmark, is at 67 basis points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create an innovative solution to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning, along with European shares, as investors wait for the outcome of the Federal Reserve's policy meeting later today. Crude oil climbing above $39 a barrel following a surprise drop in U.S. crude stockpiles. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 19 points. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures up 68. The DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.3% or 87 cents at $39.15 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $8 at $19.74.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1867 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2957. And the yen, 105.05. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Sally has made landfall along the Gulf Coast. The Category 2 storm hit Gulf Shores, Alabama. Heavy rainfall in some places, over 2 feet, and a storm surge are creating dangerous conditions for residents in low-lying areas. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he believes that the world climate is changing, but that Republicans and Democrats have different plans to tackle the problem. In the NHL, the Islanders stay alive in the East Finals, beating the Lightning in overtime. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost. In baseball, the Yankees, they downed the Blue Jays. Yanks 20, Jays 6. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox won. The A's lost to the Rockies 3-1. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. And we're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump saying the coronavirus vaccine may be ready within 4 weeks. And the president says a long-promised Obamacare replacement is already. and writing a possible Facebook lawsuit in an antitrust probe. And Judy Shelton lacking confirmation votes for the Fed board. Also, Joe Biden making direct appeals to Latinos in the first trip to Florida. Well, let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Let's start off with the coronavirus vaccine. What does President Trump know that the scientists don't know?
Well, I think that's the big question. You know, if you hear Dr. Fauci talk or some of the other top experts, they're talking about a vaccine more to like the end of the year, first quarter of next year. But Trump is talking about it much more quickly. And what seems to be driving Trump's timeline increasingly seems to be the election. And so I think that that's the rub there, is there's this tension between the president seems to really want to be able to have a vaccine up and running and being distributed prior to November 3rd. I think that that raises some concerns about whether the, all of the proper checks are being done on the vaccine if it is moved that quickly. And so that's something we'll have to watch. But I think that certainly it's an acknowledgement, if it is, albeit a tacit one on the president's part, that he needs some kind of a coronavirus weapon heading into the election.
Yeah, we heard earlier on the program from Dr. Andy Pekos that the U.S. is going to pass 200,000 confirmed COVID-19 deaths this week. How important is this issue, I guess, in the polling when it relates to the election?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, the U.S. is in a very unprecedented situation. And, you know, if you look at the polling, you see that there's a lot of disapproval out there of the president's response to the virus. He still gets relatively good marks when it comes to things like the economy, even though the economy is down and obviously joblessness is up. But when it comes to the response to the coronavirus, his polling is quite bad. And so I think that is indicative of why he's talking about, you know, getting a vaccine quite quickly and before the election.
The next story, the president says the long-promised Obamacare replacement is already, in quotes. What is it?
Well, I think we're still not quite sure what it would be or how it would be passed or what it's going to look like. But I think, you know, again, this is the president. He's talked before about having an Obamacare replacement only to see the deadline for or the timeline for unveiling that slip without him actually unveiling something. So, you know, the reality is that they can't even get an economic stimulus through Congress. They haven't been able to repeal Obamacare. The president cannot talk all he wants about an Obamacare replacement, but, you know, the specifics are thin, and I think the likelihood of getting that done anytime soon is very small.
Let me switch to Joe Biden. He's making a direct appeal to Latinos in the first trip to Florida. President Trump has already been there. Remind everybody the importance of the Latino vote.
Well, the Latino vote is very important. I think that, you know, there had been some polling earlier on showing that Joe Biden wasn't doing as well as Hillary Clinton did with Latino voters, but he's still doing better, significantly better than Trump is. Trump, you know, obviously with his comments about Latinos, his comments about immigration, his policies about immigration, has done a lot to potentially alienate the Latino community. And I think in some of these states that could end up being decisive in 2020, states like Arizona, Nevada, Texas, and Florida, those that demographic, that voting bloc, is going to be significant. And so I'm not surprised that Biden is doing what he can to appeal to them.
Okay, the last story real quick. Judy Shelton lacking confirmation votes for the Fed board. This was President Trump's nominee to join the Federal Reserve. Is this nomination toast now?
Well, I don't think that Republicans in the Senate are quite ready to put a fork in it at the moment. But, you know, to hear John Thune talk, he does admit that they don't have the votes for it now. I think there's still a sense they could try to do it before the election if they get the votes. But I think Shelton's views are, you know, quite outside the mainstream, and that's caused a lot of reservations, not just among Democrats, but among Republicans. So it looks like it's a bit of a long shot at this stage.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathleen Hunter. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Mayflower is taking to the water in Plymouth Harbor. It's not the ship that left this Southwest England port 400 years ago carrying pilgrim settlers to America. The sleek vessel has no passengers, no crew, but like its predecessor, an ambitious mission. The ship is set to follow in its forebears' footsteps by crossing the Atlantic from Plymouth, England to Plymouth, Massachusetts, this time on a marine research trip. Its creators hope it'll be the first in a new generation of high-tech vessels that can explore ocean regions which have been too difficult or dangerous for people to go. Bloomberg News has learned the Federal Trade Commission is preparing a possible antitrust suit against Facebook. The case could be filed by the end of the year. The FTC has spent more than a year looking into allegations that Facebook uses its powerful market position to stifle competition. A lawsuit by the FTC would mark another major escalation by U.S. officials in their campaign against America's technology giants, which have come under intense scrutiny in Washington over their dominant market positions. And Apple has made a long-awaited move that Wall Street hopes will boost service revenue. It's unveiled a series of subscription bundles. Apple One subscriptions will combine several services, including Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, and iCloud Storage. They start at $14.95 a month. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thanks a lot, Karen. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street, and time for the Small Business Report. For 60 years, Mystic Knotwork has been known for sailor knots. Well, they use these knots to make everything from bracelets, doormats, wreaths, and party favors. Matthew Boyden left his IT firm to take the helm of the family business started by his grandfather in Mystic, Connecticut. And Matt is with us now. It's an unusual business. First, tell us how the pandemic impacted things, Matt.
It caused our business to really rejuggle. I serve 700 gift shops around the country, as well as over 1,000 weddings a year, plus two retail stores. And the retail stores, obviously, when we're closed, went to zero. But at the same time, the online stores were doing Black Friday-level business almost every day. So we really were able to carry through while doing mail order only. And weddings have dropped off about 90% down, and our wholesale business never really took off this year because other areas of the country were down. But our retail walk-in, once the governor let us open up to some degree, stepped right back to where it would normally be in the summertime.
Now, that's curious to me. Why is the local retail store doing well?
Well, Mystic's the number two tourist destination in New England after Newport, and that mostly is international travel and long-distance vacation. And as a result of this, most of our tourists are coming in from an hour, 2 hours away, you know, local staycation kind of thing. And I really think that's going to help us out going forward as people realize that Mystic's so close and a great getaway place just for the weekend.
Now, have you guys had to pivot much at all?
We did do some pivoting. I reduced my raw material spend this year, largely because of the wholesale went down, but also to keep cash on hand because we don't know what's going to happen come winter if we need to change things. So I'm holding a much stronger cash position, doing more of the hands-on work myself and less of the networking and getting out into public stuff that I enjoy more.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. Matthew Bedoin, the owner of Mystic Knotwork, making unique gifts based in Mystic, Connecticut. Thanks. Best of luck. And we're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive and thrive during the pandemic every day at this time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And that's your Small Business Report for today. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 158, and NASDAQ futures up 75, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.67%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%, NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4% or 91 cents at $39.19 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.4%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.